Okay, let's begin this morning. It's nice morning, you feel good or cold. But you managed to get up, so let's do everything in the power of His Spirit, glorifying to Him. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Father, we do thank You that we're able to get to our assembly, as many parts of this country in the Northeast are not able to do so this morning. A lot of problems and Christians wanting to worship. So, Father, we just thank You for cold weather, but nevertheless travelable. And therefore, Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to come together to worship You. Pray that all that we do this morning is glorifying to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Let's open your hymnals, if you will, to 352. 352. Now, if you look down at the bottom, this hymn was written by Fanny J. Crosby. Now, this lady wrote close to 500 hymns. We have 13, and almost all of them we know, in our hymnal. And the remarkable thing about Fanny J. Crosby, she was blind and lived her life blind and wrote these hymns and served the Lord in many wonderful ways, which just shows you that, you know, some people look at a handicap and, boy, that just ends my life. Other people say, okay, I got this handicap now. What am I going to do with it? So this is a hymn written by her. We're going to sing two of her hymns, I Am Thine, O Lord. And then when we finish this, we'll turn to 437. So let's stand and sing all four verses. All four, really, pay attention to the words as you sing through. I Am Thine, O Lord. Brian?
All right. This should go. This is at a fairly brisk pace. But not too fast.
There you go. You got it.
Thank you.
Not only was she blind, but of all things, she lived in New York City. Wow. I guess she had to run to Jesus. Hey, whiz. All right. Okay. Let's see. Let's talk about Anell Langston, first of all, Jim.
That same level of pain, that single pain, and with
and she wakes up every morning about
4:35 o'clock.
Wow.
Is she over her blind sight? Is she over her blind sight?
Yes.
Is she still
hanging? Is over that. Please be in prayer for Anell. I will pray for her early morning, but I'll pray it the night before. Please be in prayer for Anell and Jim. And let's see, any other prayer requests that we have? I'm not aware. Yes, sir.
Pray for her name is Rita Jasso, a Christian lady in Duncanville. She's been sick for 3 or 4 days, terrible flu.
Okay. My goodness, did you get that, Leslie? Good. Okay. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
I know a policeman in Rockwall and his family. God knows their needs, but they're having some difficulties. The name of Andy and Abby.
Just be in prayer for Andy and Abby. Is that Andy a believer?
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's find out and be in prayer. Holy Spirit can use this in his spiritual life. Good. Yes?
I have two, please.
You certainly can.
The daughter of our vet, Kelsey, had a severe concussion and is struggling to return to normal high school life.
Mm. When did that happen?
It actually happened a year ago, and it's still a problem. And so they've had special tutors, but it's just, she doesn't have no ability to concentrate.
Wow. And your second one?
My second one, my girlfriend Judith. We had her on our prayer list 3 years ago, and she was 100% clear for the last year of cancer, but it has returned, and she has surgery on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they going to try to eliminate all the cancer?
And Herman, my cousin Sharon will have surgery, chemo. Thursday. And it's the kind that's going to make her really, really sick. So just pray for her.
Sharon. Mm-hmm. And Judith's operation is Tuesday, you said?
Tuesday.
Okay. You've been buried from Sharon and Judith. Yes, sir.
Prayer of Thanksgiving. We've had on our prayer list for the past year my nephew, Seth Harrison, who was deployed to somewhere in the Middle East, Afghanistan again this past year. Just got word he's just about has his feet on American soil again. He's about
all right. Is he on his way home?
Yeah. He actually may be here by now. I don't know the exact travel plans, but I got word that he's coming home.
Very thankful he made it. Another tour. That's a dangerous place to be in the world. Dangerous place to be. Okay, almost as dangerous as Chicago. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
One prayer request and one favor to ask. The prayer request is I'm going to meet with a lady who used to work with me this afternoon. And every time we meet, we always have the Bible conflict conversation kind of thing.
Good.
I just pray that it's 1:30, so if you can keep us in your thoughts and prayers, so that I can actually give her the gospel the right way. I would really appreciate it, because she has a very strong opinion the other day.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the favor to ask is for the research that we are doing, for the findings about the church sound system. Keith, Jim, and I had a really good discussion on Wednesday. We're starting to accumulate some of the questions, and we're working on the findings. What I would like you guys to do me a favor is that once we actually have some more information later on, we're going to produce first a Word document and then a PowerPoint presentation. And in between that, we would like whoever is willing and have time to look through the Word document, it's kind of bullet point, and email me back the questions that we need to do more research on, so that by the time we get to the presentation, hopefully the first week of February, then we would already have the answer for you, instead of, you know, just a Q&A and dragging more into that. And I hope that by you know, the luncheon that we have for our first on February, then we would be able to have enough findings and make a decision on what we want to do as a church. Okay, so be that as it may, if you are willing and you're available, please either you know, send me your email address. If you have never emailed you know, to me or anything, and I will actually write out my email address on the board in the back.
Good.
So that you have it before you get out. Good. Okay, and then I'll send you the Word document later on.
Thank you. Very good. Good. Yes.
Okay, so while y'all reading the paper and everything, get your chili recipe ready and let me know if you're going to cook chili, so we'll know how many pots we need and who's coming and not, because chili is
that's
that
the first
week.
Sunday in February? Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's going to be a party.
Come hungry, come with money. Very good. All right. Any further comments about
it? Oh, Larry's not here. Do you have anything?
No, kids are signing up for Slam Camp. We're getting a really good response, so be in prayer for the kids that are signing up that come, and just that the Spirit will lead where we're going with Bible study and the numbers, because we're looking at maybe having the biggest numbers we've ever had for Slam Camp.
We had a big one last year.
So the kids are wanting to come, which is great. And
that is great.
Working out all those details.
God's using it. That's wonderful.
Logistics, because
blessing
and a challenge.
Yeah.
Lots of kids, transportation.
Do we have enough for a bus?
We're looking at it.
Okay.
We need to see. We don't have all the numbers in, but they're coming in strong.
Okay.
Where is this at?
Yeah.
It'll be Brookhaven, East Texas, Hawkins, Texas. It's about 2 hours away.
I know where Hawkins is.
It's pretty out there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How's Thomas doing?
He's doing good. Yeah. Doing good. Yeah.
Okay. Simon, little bitty dog you got, is it growing yet?
Absolutely.
Is he growing yet?
Oh, yeah. He grew 4 inches and gained 8 pounds the first 2 weeks.
Oh, geez. It's a greyhound. It's a great Gray Dane. Yeah, that's just wonderful. There goes your apartment.
Right into class.
Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us, empowers us in regard to our life, daily life, money, time, all these things, decisions we make. So with these things in mind, because this is a good year. God's using the internet, missionary, young people, and anything else that He can open up for us. We're ready. So, bear these things in mind. Let us prepare for the offertory by prayer. The Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this humble assembly. We're so thankful for all the opportunities you give to us for the spreading of the gospel, telling others of Christ and of His Word. We pray now that you receive these offerings. Continue to use this assembly to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. Does anyone not have the handout, The Importance of the Pastor Teacher? Anyone not have it? Everyone have a copy? Good. Very good. All right. Okay. Now, before we start our study, there's so much that I, as your pastor, want to accomplish. I want Old Testament history. I want what's going on today. I want prophecy of the rapture, judgment seat of Christ, tribulation, second advent, and then the millennial reign and eternity future, the whole plan of God, and teach you pertinent doctrines and practical theology, how to live daily life. So you know when the rapture and all these things about them, but you don't know how to get along in your life, in your marriage, and your things going on in your life, that's not going to carry you very far. So Wednesday night, we're in a really good study, deep, dealing with spiritual love, loving one another, loving husband and wife, friends, people in church, your enemies, if they be believers. And theology has taken the hard knocks throughout church history. Now, we all know Martin Luther, the Reformation. I think the primary things of the Reformation was sola scripture, scripture alone, and salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But he did so much other, many other things. Example, on January the 10th in 1538, he got into a big confrontation discussion dealing about purgatory. And his position, there is no biblical reference to purgatory. And his main thing was, it takes away from what Christ accomplished. So he battled that battle. Then 2 days later, on January the 12th in 1538, in the same battle, dealt with the law. And he said very clearly what we believe. The law is not necessary at all for justification. But the law serves a purpose. It defines sin, it maintains discipline, and it lets us know what pleases God and what displeases God. So these battles have been fought. Now they're still being fought. Each generation has to make up its mind. The gospel is not like math. Math you pass on. 2 and 2 is 4 and all and so forth. Just pass it on. Nobody doubts it on a 10-number basis system. Everybody accepts it. Can't do that with the gospel. Each generation, each person, has to make up their own mind about the gospel. So we're in a constant battle in dealing with the gospel and with understanding the Word of God. Now where we are, so that you don't get lost, in the title, The Importance of the Pastor Teacher, we're dealing in Colossians 2, the judgment seat of Christ, which every one of us have to appear immediately after the rapture. And what we've done, we've studied various aspects of it. And the reason we're looking at 1 Corinthians 3 is that almost everyone and the few books that are out there talk about things going on in 1 Corinthians 3 incorrectly. And I want you to have a correct understanding what's going on in 1 Corinthians 3. What the gold and silver and precious stones is. That's not the works of people. That's not rewards. So we got to understand what's going on in 1 Corinthians 3 to understand things going on at the judgment seat of Christ. With this introduction in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. It solves the quest for unity. You are one. It solves, Heavenly Father, the quest for understanding eternity, salvation in Jesus Christ. It solves the quest for peace in our life by giving us the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes that we might understand even more in your plan. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, the fundamental principle in hermeneutics, context. In fact, what we used to say, there are three principles in seminary, three principles of hermeneutics. Context, context, context. And people, it can be overemphasized. One of the reasons there are so many false doctrines, people take things out of context and make a doctrine out of it. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You can, but you shouldn't. You've got to understand the Bible in its context. So we're looking at the context. Now, in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 3, 4 introduces the verification of the indictment Paul is speaking of. When one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men, human creatures? They have not advanced from being just human creatures, heathens. This is what they would do. I'm of this temple. I worship this god. I worship this goddess. I worship this god. And that's how they would identify themselves. That was their battles. Which god do you worship? Which goddess do you worship? And so when Christians make something out of the speaker, the communicator, they're acting just like the heathens. Each one of us is a human, but each one of us, believers, also are a new spiritual creation. And it is at that level we should manifest our lives here on earth. I am a Paul. I am Apollos. I am Baptist. I am Methodist. I am Roman Catholic. I am nothing. I didn't put that in there. But now, get ready for the shocker. Guess what? Where this came from? Their heathenism. In which temple do you worship? Which god or goddess do you worship? All of this is a carryover from their heathenism. All of this is an indication they've not advanced into spiritual maturity, which comes from our human nature. I'm of this team, I'm that team, I'm this school, that school, all this type of thing. We set up our identity that way. In the spiritual realm, minister worship, minister identification, which is most prominent in our society today. Why? We have television, books, CDs, tapes, the whole deal. Denominational worship, denominational identification. What should we be saying? I'm a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, him crucified, resurrected. I attend a Bible church where the primary emphasis is in the study of the Bible verse by verse. They have not grown, these people in Corinth have not grown at all, making an issue out of the man instead of the message. It is the milk and solid food that should be the issue here. Having said these things, Paul now moves to a dissertation on the pastor-teacher, the shepherd-teacher. Not to set up a following, not to form a denomination or movement, but of far more importance, what they speak, what they teach. And every believer should listen with a biblical ear. The following are some things you want to pay close attention to in any pastor-teacher that you might listen to. This will be true throughout all of chapter 4. The problem in America, in my opinion, is the pulpit. It's not D.C. and it's not Hollywood. It's the pulpit. The multitude of false gospels, deceiving doctrines, emotional emphasis instead of biblical emphasis, and the failure of spiritual freedom in this country and politics. Freedom in the pulpit, where most pastors entertain to make the people feel good, while there are some pastors who are not trained in the study and teaching of the Word of God. And just because they have an assembly of some 40,000 does not mean that God is blessing them. It means that 40,000 people do not want sound teaching of the Word of God. So, now we move into a discussion on the pastor-teacher in 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. We're just going to look at chapter 3 here. Basic definition of the pastor-teacher from the Word of God. Verse 5, servants. Verse 9, fellow workers. Why compete with somebody that's your fellow worker? Chapter 4, 1, servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Very few even know what the mysteries of God are. In chapter 3, 5, and 6, Paul takes them out of their heathenism into the spiritual realm. Verse 5, what then is Apollos? Some were promoting him. And why not? Apollos understood sound teaching, and he was an orator. He had very fluent, very good control of speaking. Paul, pitiful speaker, they say, we've gathered from various passages. Pitiful. High-pitching voice. I have a low growling voice. He had a high-pitching voice. So, now let's take a look. What we have. Servants, through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I hope that you will never be overly impressed by a man, but primarily consider his teaching. I was in a group that made the man everything. He teaches it. If he doesn't teach it, it's not true. If he teaches it, it's true. That's it. Don't give me anything new. If he didn't teach it, it's not true. If he taught it, it's true. No matter what he taught. People, that kind of allegiance is dangerous and erroneous. Neither Apollos nor Paul are the object of faith. Neither Apollos or Paul are heads of any movement or denomination or desire to be pope. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Neither is the object of your faith. They're not gods from your former temples. Who are they? What are they? That they should be praised. Servants. In a moment, Paul is going to put all this together. Look at verse 16. Who is the temple? You're the temple of God. We're going to see the different things for doctrine or for the Word of God. We've already seen two, solid food and milk. We're going to see more. I'll just tell you right now, gold, silver, and precious stones refers to doctrine. Not to works, to doctrine. What's taught. Wood, hay, and stuff, what's taught. Wood, hay, and stuff, not false teaching. Just teaching that won't carry you through a storm. It's the gold and the silver that will carry you through the storms in life. Now, you are a field of God in chapter 3. You're the temple of God. The Corinthian believers are part of a culture of many temples. This may not impress you that you're a temple of God. It impressed them. In their little town, they had a lot of different temples. And they used to go to these temples. So, they had many temples with servants and gods and goddesses to worship. So, Paul draws from their culture, just as he throughout his teaching, especially with his teaching on wisdom. But here he draws from something related to their daily lives and should be a part of their daily life now that they're believers in Jesus Christ. Temples. Multiple buildings all over the Greek and Roman world. And now they're to understand they are a temple. Verse 16. All right. Temple gods and goddesses. But look at verses 9, 16 through 17. Temples have servants. This is what a pastor teacher is. What Paul is. What Apollos is. Don't think of them as gods. They're simply servants serving you. You're the temple. For one man says, I am of Paul. Another, I am of Apollos. Are you not mere men, former heathens? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Answer is coming up. What are they? Think. Answer the question. What is their office? How are they to be thought of? How are they to be regarded? Paul answers this question now in verse 5. Servants. First, a servant is appointed. Pastor teachers are appointed by God, not based on any merit of the man. We started a very important study this morning in the 9:15 class dealing with spiritual gifts. Diversity. Diversity of gifts, one Spirit. Diversity of ministries, one Christ. Diversity of effects, one God. We're looking at the unity and diversity. How all the diversity brings us to unity. We saw, for an example, take dispensations. You have different people having different ones, 3, 4, 8, what have you got? But it's for one plan of God. Diversity, one plan of God for mankind. One gospel all the way through. But we have a diversity of gifts. God, the Holy Spirit, gives to each believer, when you believe, a spiritual gift. No one has all the gifts, and everyone doesn't have the same gift. Different gifts, different functions, different effects in society. So the first servant is appointed, and secondly, servants must be obedient. Spiritual love observes and sees a need and then meets that need to teach what is needed. Through whom you believed, servants through whom you believed, or by whom you believed, but not in whom you believed. See the difference? You don't believe in them. Through whom you believed, by whom you believed, but not in whom you have believed. Here's the goal, the objective of presenting the gospel, of teaching biblical truth, that people will believe in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit and grow spiritually. Verses 4 through 20, pastor teacher's relationship with the church. Verses 21 through 23, church's relationship with the pastor teacher. Principle. Believers are on the same team, regardless of the local church. We're all on the same team. Diversity, one. One baptism, one Spirit, one body. Why we fight, compete one another, bite one another, judge one another? Because we do not understand spiritual love. We do not understand the oneness in the diversity. Verse 5. And what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom? By means of whom? And here's the grace of God. For all of us, pastor, teacher, or not, we're all the instruments of God in giving the gospel to others. Yes, some people are given the gift of witnessing. And I believe that. Gift of witnessing. I used to know a man in Houston. He's home with the Lord now. Gunnar Thielander. That guy, it didn't matter where he was. He could witness and would witness. He'd get in the old days when they had elevator operators, he'd get on an elevator, and the lady would say, going up? He said, I sure am, because I believed in Christ. I hope you're going up. Now, if I said that, I got slapped today. Really, a nut? He could do that. And people would listen. Think through it. He just had to go to a hospital. And he had a way of witnessing wherever he was. Now, but we're all to witness. We all may not have the gift of witnessing, but we're all to witness. See? We do not all have the gift of giving, but we're all to give. So We're all, these ministries are for all of us in our daily life. But God has given to each believer a certain gift so that we could serve him. So, through whom you believed. Again, the aorist tense emphasizes the fact that salvation is a one-time belief in Jesus Christ, not over and over and over. Note that he does not say, so that you learn. As important as learning is, it does not lead to faith. You are not learning. If it doesn't lead to faith, you're not learning. He does not say, so that you serve, as important as service is. If the teaching does not lead to a manifestation of service, it's worthless. Through whom you believed. Specifically, this verb refers to response to the gospel. Aorist, active indicative of pistuo. Aorist, once and for all, you believe. But the principle applies to the ministry of the pastor teacher, teaching the word of God in such a way as soliciting a life of faith. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Okay, we have a problem. We have two choices here, and neither is grammatically or theologically acceptable. With that phrase, gave opportunity to each one. First, this may refer to those who believe. This may refer to the pastor teacher or the communicator of biblical truth. Show you how this is acceptable? King James. The King James definitely has the first in view. By whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, the Lord gave faith to believe. Okay? The NIV has a second one in view. And the Lord has assigned to each his task. Each pastor, his task. The task of the pastor teacher. To make this clear, they have added the words, has assigned his task. The NASB is left open. As the Lord gave opportunity to each one. They didn't interpret it for us. Supplying gave opportunity, which fits either interpretation. Either talk about believers or the pastor teacher. Now the Greek, even to each one as the Lord gave. While both fit, which one did Paul have in mind? Context, context, context. Which one did Paul have in mind? First, clues the use of the adjective each one. The adjective each one occurs five times in verses 5 through 13, referring to the communicator of Bible doctrine every time. Two, context. Paul is not going into a discussion of those who believe and those who do not believe, but is going into a discussion of a pastor teacher. Three, look at the Godhead involved, verse 5. The Lord gave. It is up to the Lord how many people a missionary or evangelist or a pastor teacher will lead to the Lord or cause to mature. Verses 6-7, but God causes the growth. Even as the Lord gave to every man, every pastor teacher must be fully aware of this concept. He must keep his eyes on the Lord and off other pastors and other local churches. I'll share the truth with you. I drive by and look at some of the churches on the way. I go, wow, wow, wow. Just amazing. Hey, look at little, oh, that beautiful little church. Man, that's just so cool. That'd be really nice. There's one over for sale over off of George Bush. Just a nice little building. Make a beautiful little church. See? But I can't worry about all of that. I can't get my eyes on church buildings or pastors, how many this one has, how many that one has. See? I love John Hinch. He and I cry together. How many did you have Wednesday night? That's how many I had. See? So he's a good friend to cry with. But we don't compare ourselves with other pastors. It's just that's dangerous and wrong. No pastor, teacher, or any servant of the Lord ever earns or deserves his gift. It is up to the Lord to give to each one as per the plan of God. His gift and the gift of every believer is on the basis of grace. Now, what's important for me is important for you. How you use the gift. Do you use the gift? Do you use the gift in the power of the Spirit? Do you use the gift for the glory of Christ? That's the issue. Now we move to verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered. Supports the understanding of who he's talking about. As the Lord gave opportunity, I planted, Apollos watered. See? So to me, he's talking about pastors here. But God causes the growth. Putting this verse together, it's easy to see how pastor teachers are servants and God's fellow workers. I planted means that Paul founded the church in Corinth, Acts chapter 18. The active voice that Paul planted the seed by going in and proclaiming the gospel and teaching the truth under sound doctrine. Apollos watered. This is what most pastors do. Apollos came in and taught the people in Corinth, taught them the truth. In today's world, most local churches have already been planted. There are new ones, new names and things, but it's the same church. Have already been planted. But it is a function of the pastor to come in and water with the water of the word. Apollos combined his natural gift of eloquence with the power of the Holy Spirit and understanding of the Old Testament scripture. Remember, there wasn't much New Testament written by then. So Apollos took what he learned from the Old Testament and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now, as Paul wrote, I'm sure he increased his understanding. Natural ability of eloquence does not make a person an effective teacher of the Word of God. It may draw them crowds. It may call people, oh man, that was really great. What did he say? Well, I don't know what he said, but he said it so good. I feel so good with it. He just did a, didn't you just get moved in that? See? Well, what did he teach you? Well, don't worry about that. How do you feel? I feel good when I leave there. See? No, it's what he taught. It's the issue. Apollos studied the Old Testament scriptures, tell us he had a great deal of accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Apollos, therefore, watered. Second part of the grace theme. Paul planted, started the church. Apollos came in and watered. You've got to plant a seed. That's the gospel. Then you have to keep it watered. How often? Think about this in the hot season. I want to share something funny with you. I had written this, and I said, think about it. I didn't say hot season. You have to water daily in the heat. And James called and said, what heat? He said, there's no heat. So I said, okay, however you want to word it where you can make it clear. So what he did, think about the hot season. You water it daily. This is what a pastor, see, the problem with that kind of wording, well, if it's winter, we don't need much. So we don't have to come to church much to get watered. Don't do that either. So just stay with the metaphor, the teaching here. And all water of the Holy Spirit. It's the dynamics of the local church. But God causes the growth. You can plant and water, but it is God who causes the spiritual growth of those in the local church. Now, I don't want to be a farmer. I've never wanted to be a farmer. I don't like being a farmer. All of that. But in a way, I'm the same thing. Because to me, you go out and you plow and you plow and no rain comes and it's just a dead field. All that work for nothing. But it can happen in a ministry. You can plow and plow and plow and teach and teach and teach and no one grows. See? So it's really, I guess I'm a farmer, right? Even though I don't like it. But that's the point. It's God who causes the growth. This little two-word phrase introduces the solution in the angelic conflict. But God, here's a solution to sad, stress, anxiety, depression in your life. But God, here's the difficulties of my life. But God, here are the difficulties of my life. But God. See? I appreciated Steve. I went over to see him Friday night, the day his father had died at 6. Went over there about 7:15. And it made me feel, he said, you know, my brother called and said, my dad has died. He said, I couldn't help but just think, what are you going to do? Right there, you got to remember the analogy I used? You get a call, your child has died on the highway, you got a choice to make. And he said, and I knew just then, I have to trust the Lord. I don't like it, but I had to trust the Lord. And I appreciated that. So, it's but God. But God. Here's a solution to life. This phrase should always orient the believer, especially every pastor teacher, all through our lives, our circumstances bring us to the point, but God. Thomas Hallett, death-threatening disease, but God. How many times in your life, throughout your life, can you look back and say, but God? At my age, a whole lot. Now, but, Allah, in the Greek. This introduces a statement that is in contrast to the logical conclusion. See, the logical conclusion is, you plant, you water, this causes the growth. Watering and plant. That's man's logical conclusion. It's not the truthful one. But, gives a resounding no. It is not Paul who plants. It is not Apollos who waters that causes the growth. It's God. But God. Only in the original manuscripts we have the definite article. But the God. The God is going to cause your spiritual growth. I can study and teach. You can come and sit and listen. But God is the one that will cause you to grow spiritually. But the God. And the presence of the definite article specifies, identifies the member of the Godhead who causes growth. This is the Holy Spirit. One of the multiple ministries of the Holy Spirit is to cause spiritual growth in the believer as they grow in the Word of God. Watering is a teaching of the Word of God. Knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God. The Gospel of John 14:26, 16:13, 1 Corinthians 2, 10-16. A farmer can plow, plant, and pray. But it is God who causes the growth. All his labor is for nothing if God doesn't cause the growth. The pastor teacher studies and teaches. The believer puts his trust in the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who causes the growth. My teaching doesn't cause you to grow. It's the Holy Spirit who causes you to grow spiritually. You take what I teach, the Holy Spirit makes it real to you, and therefore you grow. That's the whole concept of here. So, but God causes the growth. Here's the objective of every pastor teacher, the local church, and of the believer, to allow God to cause you to grow spiritually. This point right here is where so many Christians get it all wrong. I do for God. I obey God. I study the Word of God. I give. I. You're on the wrong path. Believers, you may do all these things, but it is God who causes the growth. This is why you want to be in the Holy Spirit. If you're not in the Holy Spirit, He can't cause growth. If you're in the Holy Spirit, He can cause growth. This is one of the greatest blessings God gives to us all, to be part of His glory. But it is God who brings the glory. The believer is God's field. You are God's building. Verse 9. This is why this entire design of the local church sets up a grace team made up of different spiritual gifts, different joints I'm not talking about beer joints. I'm talking about joints in the body. Different joints, different functions. A grace team where everyone needs everyone. And this is why the new commandment is spiritual love toward one another. That prevents jealousy, biting one another, Galatians 5, competing with one another, Galatians 5, looking at what others have, what others don't have, all this kind of thing, prevents all of that. Spiritual love allows God to bless somebody without it messing you up. Spiritual love allows God to bless you without messing you up. Spiritual love allows God to do many things in a local church, in a believer's life. This is why the new commandment, love one another. You love one another, you're not going to be judging one another. You're not competing with one another. You're serving one another in love, Galatians 5. You're encouraging one another. And if a believer, and in chapter 6, believers caught in some kind of a sin, you don't judge him. You don't malign him. You go into prayer. You try to restore them to back to the plan of God. So this is the new commandment given to us. But God causes the growth. The structure here is dramatic to what is being said. Paul planted, Apollos watered. That isn't the growth. God. Both of these are the aorist tense, water and planted. Now Paul changes to the imperfect. But God causes the growth imperfect. And this is important. I wouldn't bring it out to you if it wasn't important. The aorist followed by an aorist tense leading to the imperfect. I planted, aorist tense. Apollos watered, aorist tense. But it is neither Paul nor Apollos that causes growth. It is the God who causes growth. And growth is the objective. What's the objective of the local church? People, it's not for fellowship. It's not so you will feel good. It's for spiritual growth. So that you can represent Christ in the conflicts in life. Right here in the Greek tense, we clear up and close once and for all this whole matter of pastor worship. Pitting one pastor against another. And we're going to do it with the imperfect tense. Neither Paul nor Apollos, no pastor through history, right up to today, causes growth. It is the God who causes growth. So let's get our eyes off of pastors and praising them. Keep your eye on them. We'll study this later on. Are they teaching the truth? Are they giving you the food, solid food to grow in? Milk for the baby believer, solid food, this kind of... Are they giving you the gold and silver? Or are they giving you wood, hay, and stuff? That's how you judge a pastor. What's he feeding you with? So, neither is more important than the other, the planting or the watering. Throughout the history of the church, it is not man and what he is doing. It is the God and what he is doing. The only issue between the pastor-teacher is, are they ministering in the truth? Is their gospel the true gospel? Are they teaching the truth? Are they giving you gold and silver? Are they giving you solid food? Or is it always milk? Is it always wood and stuff? Just light stuff? Do you feel kind of good walking out? Or is it solid stuff? You have to think. You have to use your head and let the Holy Spirit open up your mind to these things. God is the issue. He's going to the one that's going to cause the growth. The imperfect portrays continuous action in past time. It draws attention to the process, not merely that it is done, which is the aorist tense. The imperfect keeps on doing it, keeps on. Fact, one plants. Fact, another waters. Done, over. But it is God the Holy Spirit who causes the process of spiritual growth. It's a process. Any parent knows that. It's a process. And what's so discouraging to a parent, Boy, just when you think, man, they're getting it, they're growing up, bam! They do something they should have done 5 years ago. And you go, ah, what's going on? Well, you just deal with that. You move on. Same thing happens to pastors. People, boy, they're really growing their way, and then all of a sudden, boom. You go, my goodness, I thought they were getting it. Well, they are. Just slip back a little bit. So this is the whole point of that imperfect tense. Our objective, your objective, my objective, spiritual growth. And it is God who causes the growth. See, but you have to understand, pastors have to grow too. Now, we don't have to listen to someone else because we get it sitting at our desk, studying. The Holy Spirit uses the Greek, the Hebrew, or studying, causes us to grow. We're able to teach that and cause others to grow. So this is a team effort that we're dealing with. But our objective of every yes.
It kind of brought into my mind the questions I've had in the past few times that I witnessed. Why do we have to learn? Why do we have to grow? It's just too complex, too complicated.
Okay. All right. You want to stay a baby your whole life?
Some people said they want to.
Okay. Yeah. And there are many that they don't wear diapers, but they're still kids, even though they're adults. They can't handle a marriage. They can't handle a job. They can't handle responsibility. If that's what you want, go for it. But the point is, most of us, I want to grow. We all wanted to. I want to grow up a little bit. I want to be able to handle this. I want to be able to handle the 11th grade. I want to be able to handle the 12th. I want to be able to handle college. I want to be able to handle military. I want to be able to handle things in life. I want to be able to. How do I do that spiritually? Walk in the Spirit. So He causes the growth. So our objective is spiritual growth. And it is God who causes this growth. Therefore, we should desire to walk in the filling of the Spirit, live in the Holy Spirit, and we do that by faith. Plant and water, aorist punctiliar. I love James. He called me and he said, what in the world is punctiliar? See? I said, okay. He said, can't we just leave it out? I said, no, let's give him another vocabulary word. Some people might Google it. And if they wanted more on it. But punctiliar, over and over, and both being in the aorist show that they have the same weight, while the imperfect speaks of the action not as punctiliar, but continuing the growth to maturity. And people, you never reach the point where you've grown enough. You reach a point, as Paul says, I've run the course. The Lord will take you home. But it's not because you've reach the point of maturity and gets no more to grow. John and I have a pastor friend. We were both stunned when this old man, not old, that old, probably 60 at the time, he said, well, I know all there is to know in the Bible, so I just rehash old sermons and stuff like that. I have nothing more to learn. John and I couldn't wait to get away from him and start laughing. The more we study, the more we learn how little we know and how much we need to learn. You never reach a point you've grown and you don't need it anymore. God help the Christian that reaches to that point where they thinks that he's reached that point in life. The planting and watering occur and it is done. But things are really going on inside the believer and growth, spiritual maturity. You know, I learned an analogy of this years ago when I used to go to the gym a lot. Do you know when you develop muscle? When you're sleeping. Not when you're in the gym working out. What you're doing in the gym, whatever you're doing in the gym, you're breaking down muscle. You're breaking it down. You're tearing it. So you get to sleep. And while you're sleeping, the body restores and grows the muscles in your body. And the same with the spiritual realm. Take in the Word of God. Take in the Word of God. Use it in the battlefield. But your spiritual growth is in your growing in the Word of God. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. when you partake of the teaching of the Word of God. And the imperfect of the God causes growth, not the planting, not the watering. This tells us who we should be occupied with. Not with the man, but with the God, with the Lord. When you walk out, you should never be occupied with the pastor. Boy, that was great. Think of what the Holy Spirit's doing, what Jesus Christ is doing, what God is doing, these kinds of things. If you think of the man, he's done it wrong. He's glorifying himself. The teaching should cause you to walk out, wow, I didn't realize the Holy Spirit did that. Or wow, I didn't think about what the Holy Spirit does. This is the great issue. This is the one that you should walk out being occupied with. Answering the question of verse 5, and that we are on the right track about the unimportance of the one who plants or waters, but that it is the one who causes the growth that is the only important one. Look at verse 7. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth is everything. Okay, let's take a look at this. So then, the Greek construction introduces a very strong result, undeniable fact. The pastor teacher is nothing, but God is everything. So why are you making such a big deal out of the pastors? It is God and God alone who is the only issue. Coming right off of verse 6, but the God causes growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Both planting and watering are iterative presents, referring to what occurs throughout the church age. Anything, not anyone, but anything of significance in the process. That's what's meant. But not anything in the process of growth. Now, you have to be careful here. This is an indefinite pronoun, but that is misleading. For while it is indefinite in the Greek, it is expressive of certain categories. This is not talking about the personal identity of the pastor teacher, the one who plants, the one who waters, but on the function itself. Therefore, the planting and the water are nothing. That's not what's important. It's causing the growth that's important. What the one who plants does, what the one who waters does, is not anything when compared to what God does, causing the growth. If God doesn't cause the growth, all that planting and watering doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Some people will want to make a big issue out of the founder of the local church. Others will want to make a big issue out of the one who teaches, especially if they've over a period of time. Here is where we get into ecclesiology, study the church. For example, formation of denominations, never sponsored or condoned by the Word of God. But once you accept entering a denomination, you have to abide by their rules. For an example, there are some denominations that select who will be the pastor of a local church, and how long they'll stay there, no matter what the congregation thinks or says. They may hate him, they may love him, doesn't matter. Other denominations allow the members of the local church to decide on a pastor teacher, and how long. In some churches, board of deacons or elders run the church. Again, no authorization from the Word of God. We studied that in our 9:15 class. I wouldn't give you a pin. I wouldn't even belong, much less want to be a pastor, where a board of elders told the pastor what to teach and what not to teach. That is just wrong. But it happens. And if you accept that type of structure, you've got to accept it. See? Now, so as I said, I wouldn't give you a dime for a church run by deacons or elders. I have seen some really horrifying things happen in local churches run by a board. Now we have a repeat of the important conjunction of contrast. But, just as in verse 6, but God. And why God the Holy Spirit? Who causes the growth? Causing you to grow in the work of God, the Holy Spirit. God's plan for your life is centered around spiritual growth, reaching maturity. People think about it in life. You don't want somebody that's in college running your business. I know there are exceptions, but in the principle, you want somebody mature, somebody with some time and grade, somebody knows what they're doing. See? That's why we have, in the military, ranks, time and grade. They have this much time and grade. They ought to be able to handle this next position, make decisions that are demanded in it. See? Same thing is true in life. So here's what we're dealing with in this regard. It is God who causes the growth, causing you to grow, reaching spiritual maturity so that you can and will glorify Christ and God can bless you in your spiritual life. Verse 6, God causes the growth. Verse 7, the pastor, teacher, plants and waters is nothing compared to God in this system of spiritual growth. Verse 8, but don't draw the wrong conclusion or have the verse 7 say something that it does not say about the pastor. The pastor teacher is extremely important. And his importance is based on what he does with the gospel, what he does with scripture. That's what the rest of this chapter is about. That's where we're going to be next week, with the gold and silver and precious stones. It's God's view. In God's view, pastor teachers are one in function, but they're not equal. And the difference is not that one plants and one waters. The difference is not in the number of converts or the size of congregations. The difference is in what they teach. One will teach with gold, silver, precious stones. One will teach with wood, hay, and straw. You have to pick which you want. Wood, hay, and straw, not false doctrine. Don't let anybody tell you that's false, wrong teaching. That's sound teaching. It's just weak. It won't carry you through the storms of life. It won't carry you through problems in marriage. It won't carry you through illnesses in life. It's the gold and the silver and the precious stones that carry us in life. So we'll begin here next Sunday morning. Continue here. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your omnipotence and omniscience, your genius, and the plan that you have designed in the local church. Diversity in it for the one glory of Christ. Diversity in gifts for the spiritual growth of people. Father, you have a wonderful plan. We mess it up when we want to do it in our flesh. We mess it up when we think we have a better system. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the things we've seen this morning. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to these things. You use this, Heavenly Father, for the glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.